my fellow Americans. How are you? It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, happy to have you. If you text ARMY to 33777, sign up to be in the Army of Activists. We'll be able to contact you as we go around the country. We are starting to talk to stations around the country in this year and then into next year, go around and do events with you guys. And the way I want to be able to keep in contact with you is we've got a great system set up where if you're willing to give us your email and zip code, we can email you and let you know, hey, we're going to be coming to the station in your area doing an event. All you have to do is text the word ARMY to 33777. Just your name, email, zip code. You don't have to put in your phone number. It's an option. I don't particularly like to get text messages from strangers. You probably don't. You don't have to, but it's great. It would be great just for us to be able to contact you as we're going out and then as we expand the gathering next year. I want to pivot to the wide world of weapons development, because there is some impressive stuff out there. But there are also some stories in the news, and they are things you need to know about. Our government is screwing up. Our government is falling behind in innovation when it comes to our military. We are being outpaced in naval development and general shipbuilding by China now. There's a story in the National Interest that caught my eye. The Navy's Constitution class frigate program has problems with no easy fix. The USS Constellation frigate program is doing little to refurbish the U.S. Navy's reputation for competence. Intended to deliver a flotilla of at least 20 small, hard-hitting surface combatants in reasonably short order at manageable cost, the program is 36 months and counting behind schedule. The USS Constellation frigate program is just falling behind. It's over budget, it's behind schedule, and manufacturing the first hull without a complete design for it. That's not a good look, especially when compounded by the past two decades of shipbuilding travails. And looks matter. Such self-inflicted troubles have direct diplomatic import and not for the better. To gauge why, consider the frigate program through the eyes of antagonists, allies, and friendly powers the United States would like to woo. And look at it in relative terms. Relative to America's rivals, chiefly China, in peacetime strategic competition, after all, influential audiences, allies, friends, prospective foes, judge which contestant would be the likely victor in wartime. Their subjective view prevails. The victor in the war for perceptions triumphs in peacetime competition. People love a winner and scorn a loser. If you were considering sides with the United States or China, which contender would you regard as the more impressive partner? The predominant seafaring state that seems unable to keep its fleet from dwindling in numbers, or the challenger with 10 major surface combatants and three Coast Guard cutters under construction at a single shipyard and a fleet inventory on the upswing? Diplomatic historian extraordinaire Henry Kissinger portrayed deterrence as a product of our military capability, our willpower to use it, and the degree to which the opponent we aspire to deter believes in our capability and willpower, in our strength, in other words. If hostile leaders believe we can and will thwart their aims, they ought to desist from actions we forbid. If they scoff at our capability, our resolve, or both, they may fling the dice and defy our deterrent threat. Kissinger reminds us that deterrence is a product of multiply, not adding, the three constituent factors. If any one factor in a multiple is zero, deterrence is zero. Algebra 1 says so. If an opponent doubts our military prowess, deterrence will suffer. That remains true even if its subjective judgments are wrong. Kissinger didn't repurpose his formula to describe other modes of armed persuasion, but he could and should have. The same combination of factors, capability, will, belief, could spur an adversary to do something we want that its leadership prefers not to do. That's coercion. And those same factors could comfort allies and friends that the United States will be there for them when it says it will. That's reassurance. Giving heart to friendly powers is critical to alliance building and upkeep. Capability, then, is central to all modes of peacetime persuasion. Competence represents a major part of capability and how others perceive it. In fact, I'm halfway tempted to break it out as a fourth freestanding factor and add it to Kissinger's formula. All of this is to say that the United States Navy is a colossal, incompetent wreck right now when it comes to building ships. Have you ever heard of the battle simulation? So there are war game simulations. And one of the battle simulations was on how to defeat a military. And the guy who won in an open sourced competition had a bunch of little boats on suicide missions. And those little boats could take out the fleet, run right up to them and blow them up, blow up the ships. You didn't need a nuclear weapon. You just needed a bunch of little ships. One of the things the Navy has decided to do is to build more nimble, agile ships, more frigates. One of the issues with our current aircraft carrier fleet is that all it takes is a single nuke from China to wipe it all out. Have you ever seen the formation of a carrier and all the fleet around it, all the ships, all the supply ships, the cargo ships, the frigates, the destroyers, everybody who goes out with the aircraft carrier, one nuke wipes them all out. We should be building more nimble frigates, not just destroyers and cruisers, that are well-powered, filled with firepower, and can deploy broadly. We should be building more submarines. During the 2024 presidential debates on the Republican side, they were all asked to question, the Republicans on stage, about what to do with China, what to do with the South China Sea. And only Chris Christie had the precise answer, and that is, we need more nuclear-powered submarines under the South China Sea that the Chinese cannot find. An American admiral, this isn't an exact quote, I'm missing some of it, but basically said, it is easier to find a sewing needle on the moon than to find an American attack submarine under the ocean. We need more of them. But our American Navy is falling behind. And you know what's going to help us is the private sector. The private sector is innovating weaponry more than the American military directly. There's a company that's headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, called Anduril. A friend of mine who is involved in classified military projects pointed out, man, if I could invest in this company, I think I would. I think it's the future, Anduril. It's Palmer Luckey. You know, he was a tech guy, friends with Elon Musk. He started this company. It's headquartered in Atlanta. And essentially, it is, more than anything, it's a drone company. And they make incredible unmanned aerial vehicles and autonomous underwater vehicles that can serve as advanced weapons technology for the United States. One of their drones, which I just find to be just cool as anything, is they launch from the ground. If they wind up not having to be used in the attack, they land again and are reusable. Another company is Palantir. Palantir is the more famous one. Palantir was started by another tech guy, and Alex Karp is the CEO. Karp was in the military. Karp is an American who cares about defending the United States. Too many of our big tech companies like Google, Apple, Microsoft, they've got a bunch of social justice warriors who work for them who don't want to help the United States. Remember, Amazon and Google were looking to bid out work for the American government, and their employers were like, I can't believe we would help these evil people. Palantir is a super pro-America industrial military defense business that is a software company, and it's hired Mike Gallagher to run its defense business. Gallagher is the congressman who chaired the Joint Committee on China in Congress. He's a defense hawk. He doesn't have a job. He hasn't had a job in the defense sector, but he's going to go work at Palantir. He's going to head part of the company. And Gallagher knows that we've got to train our fighting and our systems on China. Palantir is a leading technology company that is very pro-America in defense of the West. It has built up incredible software applications for the American military. It is innovating where the military-industrial complex itself is falling behind, just like Anduril. Anduril is inventing. And then there's Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin is developing the Dark Star. I am just so like, I mean, this plane to me. So I love the SR-71 Blackbird. There's an air museum near me that has one. Did you know this plane, the SR-71, was the fastest plane ever made, and it leaked jet fuel on the ground. But as it flew, it got hotter. The outside got hotter, and it expanded. The metal expanded and sealed itself up before it got into the flights. It would fly very, very high and very, very fast. It was unstoppable. Lockheed Martin designed the SR-71, and it's now developing the Dark Star, the SR-72, that will fly three times as fast as the SR-71, the already fastest plane in the world. So instead of going 3,000 miles an hour, this would go 6,000 miles an hour, twice the speed. It's just, it's going to go incredibly fast. It's going to go incredibly high. It's going to be able to surveil. It's over budget and it's behind, just like the Navy, but Lockheed is using its outside business know-how to innovate in ways the Navy's not. If we're gonna win the next fight against China, we've really got to be able to innovate. And in innovating, we've really got to rely on the private sector, because the public sector is falling behind. Waste and greed and graft, corruption, laziness, failures to innovate. The Chinese are advancing. Now, I say that about China, but you also need to know something about China. A lot of China's advances are for show. I continue to point out, because it's deeply relevant, that China decided to innovate with an aircraft carrier. Put out a bleeding edge aircraft carrier. Its first day at sea, caught on fire. And now it's cracked in half, taken out of commission. The Chinese built the high-speed rail system from Shanghai to Tibet. It fell over. Elevated high-speed rail fell over. They're not all they're cracked up to be, no pun intended. But I got to tell you, the concern here is that I don't know that our military is really taking seriously, publicly facing it is, but privately, is it really taking seriously the concerns about China? Or is it just decided to surrender? It's a real concern, and we need real innovation, and it's going to be the private sector that saves us. And the irony here is we've got a week of Democrats in Chicago vilifying the private sector, claiming the government is here to help you. The government can't even build ships for the Navy anymore. They're building hulls without final designs. Nothing says government inefficiency like that. This is not good news for us. We need people to step up now, and it's going to be our private sector that saves us. So maybe we should stop vilifying the private sector.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Tracy, you're going to be up next on the show. Welcome to the program, Tracy. How are you?
Good. I'm enjoying your show notes, and I want to comment about your mentions of Oprah Winfrey's speech and the economy. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Oprah Winfrey. I watched it myself last night. I'm a big Oprah fan, went to her show in Chicago. I have no doubt she's experienced racism in her life. But in what country, Eric, besides the United States, despite any of its shortcomings and history and supposed systemic racism, could Oprah have realized her career dreams and become a billionaire?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And in terms of the economy, I had to get a refund at Walmart for 12 glazed donuts. They cost me $14.71.
Good gracious. Wow. Good grief. Yeah, that's, man, yeah, everything is more expensive. And, you know, you're so right about Oprah. Listen, I'm not going to mock her for the things that she experienced, but the fact that she can't also say, you know what, despite all that, America is such an awesome country because despite that, I could succeed and become a billionaire. That seems to be the key takeaway there is that, yeah, there's no other country where she could do that. No other country could Oprah Winfrey succeed the way she has succeeded in this country, despite all of its flaws. I mean, Lynn, we should recognize the United States is not a perfect nation. It never will be. Why? Because people are flawed sinners. And we are a nation of people, and people are stupid. But we're always in perpetual suit of being a more perfect nation. And this woman could go through all of that and become a billionaire in this country. And then somehow not like, not America is awesome, look at what we can do despite our flaws, but we need Kamala Harris and government. Really? No. The lesson should be we're an awesome nation. We should not be ashamed of our nation. We're the best nation. I don't say that because I'm American. I say that because I've been to a lot of the other nations, and I assure you people are dying to get here. They're not dying to get to any of these other countries, including ones that think they're equivalent to us. People want to be American for a reason. They want to be here. I want to be here. We should all appreciate, despite our nation's flaws, we are the best nation. Now, when we come back, I do want to talk about Kamala Harris. She takes the stage tonight. There's some data out there on where she's gaining ground and where she's losing ground. Give you some state of play. Right now, I want to remind you, though, if you go to EdenPureDeals.com and you put in Eric3, E-R-I-C-K-3, you can get 3 Eden Pure Thunderstorms and save $200. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm is an air purifier, but it does more than that. It's an odor eliminator. It can wipe out dirty diaper odors, litter box odors, pet odors, you name it. All you do is go to EdenPureDeals.com. Eden like the Garden of Eden, pure is the driven snow, deals, EdenPureDeals.com. And you put in Eric3, E-R-I-C-K-3, no space, the number, not the word, and you get them. You get one for upstairs, downstairs, your basement, your RV, your travel bike. You get 3 of them. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. I travel with one. You can plug it up with a USB cord, or you can plug it directly into a wall, and it just wipes out odors. I've used it in rental cars where someone smoked in the rental car before I got it. Wipe out that odor. Used it in hotel rooms. I've been in hotels that used them, and it just works. You go to EdenPureDeals.com, and you put in Eric3, E-R-I-C-K-3. You can get 3 of them for less than $200. You save $200, and you start wiping out odors wherever you need to wipe out odors. You get 3 of them. You save $200. EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code is Eric3.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello, welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number, 877-973-7425. I do somewhat out of the stuff I wanted to cover right now, but I got to play you this clip. It went viral yesterday. It's worth playing. This is the Commerce Secretary, Gina Raimondo, who was in Chicago, who has no idea about the jobs.
When you hear that, do you potentially think that this new numbers could be a liability for this campaign?
No. When I hear that, first of all, I don't believe it because I've never heard Donald Trump say anything truthful.
It is, though, from the Bureau of Labor.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. So this is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And Gina Raimondo, the Commerce Secretary, by the way, it's done by the Labor Secretary, but the Commerce Secretary relies on this data. The fact that she had no idea about this data, and let's be honest here, she probably did, and she lied through her teeth on television while talking about Donald Trump lying, which is hilarious. But good Lord, the inattentive to some of this stuff. And Meanwhile, we got all the Democrats out there saying that Kamala Harris wants to tax unrealized gains. This is Rick Santelli on CNBC.
In terms of all these things we're learning about taxing and taxing unrealized profits, I will tell you this. Bank robbers rob banks because that's where the money is. It's a fait accompli. We are now so far in the hole, almost $2 trillion this year. If you look at all the numbers, they have to find money somewhere. Discretionary spending, that slice of the pie is so small, you need to, you know, a microscope to see it. You can't cut your way to prosperity there. So they're going to have to get the money from somewhere. I look at all the piles of money that they're probably considering. Just think about if you're a baby boomer. You know, they have an audit trail of your retirement money that's a mile long. There's some money they'll try to get their hands on as well. Spending by the government over what they take in is a tax. It's already a tax. So I don't know how we're going to pay for any of this stuff. But to think that we can push off the government trying to get more money from us, that's a lost cause already. They've already spent into that dimension.
Yeah,
Back to you, Joe.
That's the problem, is they have spent too much. And they're going to have to find money somewhere. And so if Kamala Harris gets elected, our taxes are going to go up. And it's not just going to be the unrealized gains of billionaires. I mean, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden did, in fact, Kamala Harris cast the tie-breaking vote to expand the IRS, claiming it would go after billionaires. And what did it do? It went after waiters and waitresses. It went after Uber drivers. It went after the lower middle class and the poor. Audits on poorer Americans have skyrocketed, thanks to Kamala Harris. So how's she doing in the race? Buddy of mine, and I know he's not listening right now. He's got a day job, but he texted. Let me read you his text. General pulse check. Does anyone here believe Trump is going to win? Like, ignore the current state of the race and flash forward to November. Just curious. A lot of my Republican friends are nervous right now. I'm not. You know, the bitter irony from all the hate mail I get from Trump supporters, that you just can't say anything nice about the guy, whether I do or I don't, is I still think this is his race to lose. He may lose it, but if the race were held today, he would win. He wouldn't win the popular vote, I don't think, at this point. He would have if Joe Biden were the nominee. But I think he still wins enough of the swing states to win. So the data on Kamala Harris shows this. She is gaining ground with younger voters. Younger voters were not going to go to Donald Trump. Listen, I know some of you believe it to be true. If only he would do one more Twitch stream with some anonymous person nobody cares about. He did Theo Von. My goodness, that's going to get the youngs to come. No, young people are stupid people who are going to vote Democrat because it's the feels and they're emotional creatures. They haven't really started in the workforce. They don't really care. They just want to have a good time, and the Democrats look like a good time because all the celebrities are with them. But they're also the least likely to turn out and vote. You know who votes? Older Americans. And older Americans are voting for Donald Trump. Some of them because they absolutely are convinced that this is it. The country's over if Kamala Harris wins. I got an email from a very nice listener in Oklahoma who said, I'm missing the point about older voters voting. And they're convinced that communism is coming. It's because they've seen the changes younger people haven't. And they're convinced that, yes, communism is on the march in this country. I think it's overstated myself, but I acknowledge the point. Older voters, it may very well be their last election given their age. They want to vote. They say they're going to save the country, and they're leaning towards Donald Trump. Married women, we talk about the women's vote, but the married women are leaning towards Donald Trump. The working class, still leaning towards Donald Trump. Yes, Kamala Harris has improved the position of the Democrats, but you know how she's improved it? She's improved it back to February. Her standing in the polls nationally is about where Joe Biden was nationally in February. But in the swing states, Donald Trump's still doing well. Now, that's not to say Trump's going to win. He very well could lose. But we haven't even had the first debate yet. We haven't had the first debate between these two. What we've had is a month-long honeymoon period where Kamala Harris has avoided the press, and even the press has said it makes sense for her to avoid us, lest she have any mistakes. As more Americans get to know her, I am just reminded of the fact that many of the Democrats now saying that she's the best thing since sliced bread. A year ago, we're telling Joe Biden, you got to ditch her. Nobody likes her. They didn't like her for a reason. And her positions continue to change, not because she has articulated them, but because anonymous staffers have gone out and said, she doesn't believe that thing she believed yesterday. She's changed. Even the big reaction about her price gouging plan, staffers have come out and said, people have misunderstood what she meant. She's the one who stood on stage and told us her price gouging plan, and it was communism. I mean, it was price fixing. It was what you see in communist countries. And they're like, people just misunderstood what she was talking about. No, she was the one on stage. This doesn't signal to me a strength. It doesn't signal to me a strength. It suggests to me that there actually is a profound weakness in Kamala Harris's strategies moving forward, a profound weakness that can be exploited by the Republicans. Now, this requires discipline on Trump's part, and he's not a very disciplined candidate. It's notable how J.D. Vance is the guy doing all the interviews. The problem is that voters want to hear from Trump. It should be Trump doing the interviews in the swing states. I've had all these people. In fact, my sister texted me and said, J.D. Vance is doing a TV interview at local media in Valdosta, Georgia. God bless him for doing it. Why is it Donald Trump doing it? People aren't voting for Tim Walz and J.D. Vance. People are voting for Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. But yeah, I actually do think that Donald Trump can win this thing. I think that the economy is still a wild card. I think that there's still so much foreign policy. Donald Trump is baked into the equation. The external events are not. And all of the external events work against the Biden-Harris administration. Do I know how this will ultimately end? I have no idea. I don't know. She could win this thing. She absolutely could. And I think if you're dismissing people who tell you that she could win, you might be surprised on Election Day. But for those of you Democrats convinced you've got it in the bag, Donald Trump's winning the swing states. He's winning the working class. He's doing non-traditional interviews like the Theo Von comedian interview that is getting a lot of attention. Kamala Harris has cloistered herself. She's not doing a lot of interviews. And the economic data is not good. A 818,000 jobs revision downward is not good news for Kamala Harris because it is the Biden-Harris administration. All of the global external events outside the control of the candidates work against her. If Iran attacks Israel, it works against her. If the economy goes into recession, it works against her. I mean, who knows? If they start saying monkeypox is some event we all got to take precautions for, it works against her. Donald Trump's baked into the equation. Everybody knows Donald Trump. They may not care for him, but they liked his policies. That's why the Democrats have to maintain a vibe election. I hate that phrase. My gosh, do I hate that phrase. But it's, you know what I'm talking about. The media's talking about it. It's all the feels. It's the feelings. It's the emotions of the election. They don't like him. They got to make her likable. It's the policies that matter. If the Republicans can make it about policies, Donald Trump's going to win. If he stays focused on personal attacks about Kamala Harris, he's going to lose. It comes down to how Donald Trump wins this campaign. It's not going to be stolen, as many of you are convinced it's already going to be stolen. And I know what's going to happen the day after if Kamala Harris wins. We're going to be on here with everybody saying, oh my gosh, everything stopped overnight. It's proof they stole it. Pay no attention to how he ran his campaign. I don't care about that stuff anymore. What I care about is a fight for the future. And all Trump's got to do is articulate one. And his articulating it is very straightforward. Kamala Harris is already there. When Kamala Harris stands on stage and says stuff like this,
we believe in a future where we lower the cost of living for America's families. And when I am president, I will bring down the cost of groceries by making sure markets are competitive and fair.
Okay, why haven't you done that yet? I mean, this has got to be, and this is where I pound my head on the table and the walls. Like, why, Republicans, do you keep going off message? Your message is so simple. She's been there 3.5 years. Do you want 4 more years of what Kamala Harris has already given? It's a really easy message. There is a reason that the public opinion polling out there shows that more Americans prefer his policies to what they're getting right now. If that's the case, it's really easy. Do you want more of what you got, or do you want Donald Trump? That's why I think he can still win. Do you want more of this, or do you want that you have fond memories of? You may not like Trump, but you liked what he gave you. Can you put up with him for 4 more years to get your economy and your house back in order? Or do you want this woman who you don't really know, but you don't like her policies? The fact that Kamala Harris isn't gaining ground with independent voters or older voters is another tell that Trump can win this election. She's consolidating a Democratic base that was worn out on Joe Biden. She's consolidating a Democratic base that decided that there was no way Biden was going to win and they were discouraged. She has reinvigorated and encouraged Democratic voters, but not independents. Independent voters want something different. Independent voters want a new direction. And independent voters, in the polling, it suggests don't believe they'll get that from Harris. So, yeah, can Donald Trump win? Yes. Will he win? I don't know. My guess is if the election were today, yeah, he absolutely would win. And we haven't seen the debates. And we've seen her on a debate stage and we've seen him on a debate stage. And she never had a good debate. The only time she had a good debate was when she was eviscerating Joe Biden as a racist. And I'm sure she'll try to eviscerate Donald Trump as a racist. But Donald Trump is training with Tulsi Gabbard, the woman who totally sabotaged and destroyed Kamala Harris's campaign, live on a debate stage. He's got a path to victory. It's his race to lose. He might lose it, but he's still in the dominant position. Nationally, the polling, yes, has trended to Kamala Harris. The swing states matter. We saw this in 2016. The swing states matter. And right now, the swing states, the majority of them that would give him 270 electoral college votes, they'd vote for him. So I wouldn't panic if you were a Republican. Yeah, there's some frustration. Yes, his lack of discipline. Yes, the media's love affair with Kamala Harris, all those sorts of things. But the economy, the world on fire, crime, immigration, the border, they all work to his advantage if he just stays on that message. The other thing is the cancel culture of the Democrats. I mean, the censorious nature of the Democrats. You know, it's one of the reasons Old Glory Bank was started, because they see what the left is doing, shutting people out, trying to get people canceled, trying to get bank accounts canceled, all that sort of stuff. Old Glory Bank exists because conservatives came together and said, we need a bank that protects conservatives. We see what they're doing to gun stores and gun owners. We see what they're doing to conservatives. Let's start a bank. I moved my bank account to Old Glory Bank last year when they started. OldGloryBank.com. You can go to OldGloryBank.com. You can get an account for you. You can get an account for your kid. You can get an account for your business. They're a fully operational bank. They do loans, mortgages, you name it, at Old Glory Bank. It takes less than 8 minutes online to get a bank account. They're so innovative, you can even deposit cash at Old Glory Bank. Yeah, it's an online bank, and they've found a way for you to be able to deposit cash. I've used it. It works flawlessly. Their app is incredible. If you need a mortgage, if you need a loan, they do those, and they process them quickly, and they make their own lending decisions. OldGloryBank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Terms and conditions apply. Go to OldGloryBank.com. It is very much my bank, and I very much enjoy using them, and you will enjoy Old Glory Bank as well.
Well-connected and well-respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday.
House of Lords, Michael Farmer is his name. And Michael Farmer, he's been forced to publicly address anti-Semitism. To quote, put my own views on anti-Semitism and Israel's current military campaign on public record after public comments from a high-profile member of my family. Lord Farmer's son is married to the growing virulently anti-Semitic Candace Owens. Owens has, as she has left Daily Wire, become increasingly anti-Semitic. She's gone so far as to defend Hitler and the Nazis, to claim that Stalin was Jewish or some such. I mean, so she's made some seriously wild accusations in just the past couple of weeks, and she's becoming more and more like unhinged in her conspiracy theories. And I don't quite know what that is, but it's just kind of wild now to see her being embraced by these far right anti-Semites. It's been really gross. Lord Farmer, her father-in-law, is actually a staunchly conservative British politician in the House of Lords, but also he is deeply, deeply, deeply Christian, and in fact is a he's the chairman of the Council for Christians and Jews, or deputy chairman of the Council for Christians and Jews. And he has now released a statement being passively critical of his daughter-in-law and defending Israel's right to defend itself against Hamas. It's just kind of remarkable that he's having to come out now because of Candace Owens' positions, because his son married the girl. Here's his statement. As a teenager growing up in the wake of World War II, I became very aware of the cruelty meted out before and during the conflict against Jewish people simply because they were Jewish. I found it impossible to comprehend how humans could intentionally be as cruel as possible to others. Then as a young man, I worked with many Jewish people in the city. The boss in one of my first jobs had come to Britain on a Kinder's transport. I often experienced kindness and thoughtfulness from Jewish friends as well, at a time when I had few close relationships. To conclude, I should point out I'm the Christian deputy chair of the Council for Christians and Jews. It was founded in 1942 as a bulwark against anti-Semitism, and our monarch has always been its patron. The plight of civilians in Gaza is appalling, but I see Israel has little option but to fight its enemy where it chooses to hide itself. In tunnels, under key infrastructure, behind innocent civilians, we cannot forget that they've been forced to prosecute this war. That's Candace Owens' father-in-law basically saying Candace Owens doesn't know what she's talking about. Good for him. Hate he's in that position, but y'all need to tune out Candace Owens at this point. She's just nothing but an anti-Semite crazy.